So you remember the 94 Republican Revolution, right?
When, absolutely.
When Newt Gingrich became Speaker of the House, they had a contract with America.
That's right.
Their agenda was very,
laid
very
out really
specific.
Clearly, yep.
Not so clear this time around, but we're going to try to give some clarity to the consequence of Republican victories. Noel King is with me, sitting in for Celeste Headlee. Jenny Weber, historian and author of Copperheads about the Lincoln opposition back in the 1860s, has been with us all hour. I got a quick question for you, Jenny. The opposition to Abraham Lincoln in that first term, was it clear what they would do if they won and actually took power, Jenny Weber?
Not exactly. It was clear that they would probably end the war. It was likely, although they never really said so explicitly, that they would roll back the Emancipation Proclamation and maintain slavery.
Interesting. Maintain slavery, end the war. That was the Copperhead agenda against Abraham Lincoln back in the 1860s.
Jenny Weber is with us all hour. And, you know, John, it's too early in the game to call any of these midterm races coming up, but polling is suggesting that Republicans are probably going to take the House. Senate is still too close to call. We're here now with Terrence Samuel. He's managing editor of the National Journal, a weekly magazine. He's also the author of The Upper House, A Journey Behind the Closed Doors of the U.S. Senate. Terrence, good morning.
Hi, Doyle. Nice to be here.
Oh, thanks so much, Terrence. Terrence, if the Republicans do end up taking the House, what's the first thing, what's the number one thing on their agenda?
Well, it's interesting that Jenny said that there was no positive or necessarily forward-looking agenda with the Republicans back in that Lincoln first term, because I think in some ways we have a similar situation here.
Hmm.
What Republicans intend to do, we are not exactly sure. We know what they're against. They're against healthcare, and they are against government spending. Now, how they go about enacting that opposition to the agenda is interesting. I think clearly what we're going to see, and this is a discussion now taking place within the Republican conference, particularly in the House, is that they will there's a moratorium on earmarks, which is an interesting approach, but obviously very small. How they enact a larger agenda on that is, I think, something we're still waiting to see.
And, of course, you know, McCain was talking about earmarks, you know, really for the last decade. You know, Terrence Samuel, I was scratching my head there. It's interesting how much has changed since the 1860s. It wasn't the Republicans who were opposing Abraham Lincoln. It was the Democrats back then. Now we've got a Republican opposition to Barack Obama. It's a turning of the earth, even though the names have been changed. But it's very, very similar dynamics.
Yeah, and you know, I think one of the interesting things we see compared to the 1994 takeover, which people keep drawing parallels to, is that Republicans, one, if they take the House, understand that they are now in control of just one chamber of the Congress, that the president has a lot of power in the veto pen, and that the Senate will continue to be as frustrating to them in the majority as it was in the minority. So they're taking it much more slowly. John Boehner, who will be the speaker should this Republican takeover happen, has already said that he will think of this this period of control as an evolution, not so much a revolution.
Terrence, is that another way of saying gridlock? I mean, it seems like we don't have any answers on how we move forward from anyone at this point.
I think the answer is gridlock for a couple of reasons. The first is that the Democrats feel chastened will feel chastened by having lost as many seats as is predicted. But also, the Democrats have done a lot of what is on their agenda. They, I think, necessarily now thinking of this as a period of regrouping. Republicans understand that there is only so much they can do, even if they control the House. And already we hear them talking about, 2012 and how many more seats they will pick up, particularly in the Senate. And that is a time when they will actually go forward. But with closer majorities, closer margins in the House and the Senate, which is what we expect, everybody, I think, understands that there is a lot less room for maneuver, and I think that means gridlock.
Well, Terrence Samuel, you point out something really interesting that I hadn't really thought of. Sam Donaldson said that Bill Clinton is the playbook for Barack Obama right now, but you point out correctly that Clinton didn't get much done in those first 2 years. Obama has gotten a lot done. Jennifer Weber, you know, the gridlock worked to Clinton's advantage in the 90s, where he was able to force a bipartisanship and get a lot done and take credit for it. Do you think Obama can do that with one House Democrat, with the House Republicans and the Senate Democrat?
Boy, I'll tell you, John, it hasn't looked that way to me. You're talking about an opposition party, well, what is now an opposition party, that's agenda seems to be basically no. And from the time Obama assumed office, it really has not seemed to me to matter what the issue is. I don't think they've engaged in good faith with the president at all. Their position has just been no. But they've been incredibly organized about it. And, Obama has not been able to peel that many Republicans off.
And we've seen that no can become a springboard for a national stage anticipating the 2012 election. Terrence Samuel, before we go, procedurally, do the Republicans have any kind of an advantage in trying to, like, eradicate health care if they control the House? Is there something they can do to stall funding for it, for instance, that kind of thing?
Well, the options are pretty limited, but they are – They essentially come down to one thing: try to defund kind of the regulatory enactment of this. But, you know, in answer to the previous question of whether any of this works to the president's advantage, I think the dynamic of being in charge of one house changes the no platform and makes it slightly more difficult for them to say no on everything. I think they will be judged on having been given some responsibility to produce some results, and I think that may in fact move them on some smaller issues.
Well, holding the Senate then by the Democrats will certainly make the next 2 years much more interesting, according to Terrence Samuel, managing editor of the National Journal, and Jennifer Weber, of course, is still with us, historian and author of Copperheads. Thanks to both of you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.